And right now we're going to the phones, where we are joined by Dave Zanotti from the American Policy Roundtable in the public square. Dave, how are you?
Well, you know, I have not been all that well, to be honest with you. I don't know that I've ever in 40 years been as troubled by what's going on in our country as I am right now. And it's taken a toll on everybody. And I'll be honest with you, I'm pretty doggone miserable.
Well, we do.
Well, you're healthy, though, right?
Yes. Physically healthy.
Yeah, thanks be to God. And most people are. Now, before I get into this, been asked by my staff to, again, be very careful to remind people that we get it. And if you're in the risk factor for COVID-19, we get it. And we care immensely about people who are at risk. We're very concerned about the elderly particularly and about people that have treatments that are touching their immune systems and other things. We get it. This is not a fictional situation. We know people are hurting right now, and we're hurting with them.
Well, let's start here because, Dave, obviously we're under some very extreme conditions. What we're doing right now is not sustainable for the long term. I mean, we all agree on that. Everybody agrees. You can't just do this for the next 6 months and shut the country down for 6 months. It's just not sustainable. Eventually, people just aren't going to do it anymore. You know, we've got businesses closed and other things like that. Many of those businesses are not going to be coming back. I mean, I saw a report today said, you know, upwards of 25 to 30% of businesses will just be shuttered. So, I mean, it's going to take an economic toll. It's going to take a toll on individuals. It already is. It's not a sustainable solution for the long term. So let me ask you, because obviously there's a legitimate concern of the government to protect the health and safety of the people. There's also constitutional guarantees and laws that need to be followed. And a lot of people are concerned that we're not striking a really good balance between those two things right now. Put it out there, Dave. I wind it up for you now. Yeah. Now I threw the softball to you. You go ahead and go.
How many years we have talked together and prayed together and met together and worked together to answer that question, to deal with the walking out of biblical faith, the liberties given to us by our Creator in the public arena in everyday life. We've had a lot of conversations, and we've been in this mission for over 40 years, and we've been telling people for 40 years that it's really important to know who you're electing to public office. It's really important that we send our best and our brightest into the leadership of public service, because one day something's liable to happen in which suddenly your most basic liberties, your right to make a living, your right to travel, the right to walk out your own front door, may someday hang in the balance. And someday just came today. Mm-hmm. We're here. We are in something that is so far past the constitutional crisis. There is no time in the history of our country, no time where we have ever experienced what we're going through right now. Not Pearl Harbor, not World War II, not 9/11, not the Great Depression. This is a self-induced hysteria that is literally consuming our civil liberties at a rate that's never happened before. This is so wrong at so many levels that I think I've actually run out of words. And that's saying something after 40 years. There's no way to quantify how wrong what's going on really is. The methodologies are wrong. The models are wrong. The responses are wrong. The language is wrong. I could go on and on and on. And at which point in time, many of your dear listeners, who I consider friends, are already winding up to find a way electronically to kick my teeth in because they have been completely brought under the spell of the notion that we do anything to save lives and everything goes off the table as soon as somebody gets sick. That's not the way life works. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what our Constitution says. I just don't know how to say it in any larger language than you can't be more wrong than we are right now.
Well, one of the things, let's kind of step back on this, and a lot of these decisions are being made not necessarily based on facts on the ground, but on models and software, computer models that they're tracking and trying to understand, you know, how this virus is going to spread. And a lot of people have complained because, in fact, I just saw Washington, one of the main models that people are using out of Washington State, University of Washington, just ramped down their estimate of death and kind of backed off on some of their more dire predictions that they had made before. So what's the concern that people have over the fact that people, the politicians are looking to these models to make these decisions?
Well, let me give you this piece of news from the Associated Press. Title is "Uncertainty is the Only Certainty." The article goes on to describe the world of scientific modeling. In this article, the statement is made that the models are always wrong. the models are always wrong. And what's happened here is we had this crisis hit us, and our politicians went to the lab coats. They went to the science, and they said, what we have to do is follow the science. Now, Americans have trusted doctors our whole lives. Doctors have remained the single highest level of credibility of any profession in our country, even more than ministers and pastors and rabbis and clerics. Doctors are number one. So the lab coat showed up, the politicians stepped back, the lab coats got the spotlight and the microphone, and they decided to tell us how their world works with models. And so they built these models, and the politicians listened. Now, Amy Acton, the director of the Ohio Department of Health, and Mike DeWine are the primary example. They are number one in all 50 states for claiming that they got this earliest, they built the best models, they've done the best job, they saved the most lives. They've saved the most lives. They've saved the most lives. They tell you that every time they're on television. They're the ones. However, Dr. Acton has been through three different sets of models and just announced yesterday that she's got a class she's going to be giving Ohio this week during her news conference. It's called Modeling 101, because the model that she has right now has also failed, and she's got a new one coming up. Her first model back in March, on March 1st, she said we had 100,000 cases in Ohio because we had one. When the first case was manifest in Ohio, she said, we're certain from all the models we have 100,000 cases. And then she said, we wrote this all down and time dated it. She said, of that 100,000 people, you can expect within a very short order, within just a few weeks, 20,000 people will be in our hospitals. Well, friends, we don't even have remotely close to 20,000 people in hospitals today, not the composite of this entire work. She said we had 100,000 cases in her first model. Today, we have 4,450 cases. 5 weeks later. She also told us that the rate of cases would double every 6 days, starting at 100,000. Well, by now, well over half of us should have been infected already. Well, she threw that model out. Then she went to another. Then she went to a Washington model. And then just 2 weeks ago, she went to a special model that she had made from Ohio State University. That model today is falling between 50 and 70% short of the numbers that she anticipated. At which point, and I've got all the numbers right here in front of me, at which point in time everyone would say, man, that's great news. Well, it is great news. This thing is not anywhere near as bad as what they had modeled. That is great news. There's just one problem. We built all of our public policies to lock down our state and destroy our economy and our civil rights and religious liberties on those models, because she said this is what's going to happen.
There's another example of models I want to share that kind of helps maybe bring this more in perspective, what Dave is trying to say. When they predict hurricanes, they use all these different models, the computer models, to show what direction this hurricane is going to go. Well, we've seen how well that works.
Yeah.
The hurricane does what it does, and the models generally are not right on at best, and even close, if even on average.
Yeah. And the problem is there's just so many variables in any model, you just can't account for them all. It's impossible to account for all the variables that would affect this situation.
Yeah. And
like
just
this.
Just like with a hurricane, it's nature.
Yeah.
You can't control it, and you just don't know what people are going to do.
Well, and here's the other part of it. There's a line in today's AP article. It says, quote, data-driven models are the best evidence we have. Time out. A model is a projection of what you think might happen in the future. It's theoretical. That's what these models are. Evidence is something completely different.
Yeah, actual data.
And you see, we've lost the ability to discern between the two. And so we've been acting as if this is what's going to happen and impacting lives. Example, we're losing lives because of the model. Well, how can that be? State of Florida, out of every $4 that go into the state treasury in Florida come from tourism and entertainment. That division of their economy in Florida is now wiped off the map and has been for 2 months. And foreseeably, to get it started again, it may take at least another 4 months if the all clear was given right now. The state of Florida has a $33 billion annual budget, and they've lost 6 months of that budget.
Yeah.
What revenue are they going to have to face the second and third wave of this virus?
Yeah. And you think about the businesses, you know, Disney's going to be fine, right? They got piles of cash. They got other ways to make money. They're going to be fine. But all those ancillary businesses, all those small and mid-sized businesses around them that feed off of that, they're the ones that this ends. They're not going to be there. A lot of those businesses just aren't going to be there.
Disney has 77,000 employees, and they have furloughed every non-essential employee, said, go get your government check, because we don't know when we're going to be back in business. Not because the governor says so, not because the president says so, but because the mayor of Orange County said, you'll open when I say you'll open. And that's costing Disney at least $500 million a month. Now, I'm with you. They're a very large publicly traded corporation with piles of cash and piles of friends, but they control the Central Florida economy. And that economy is literally being wiped off the map.
Yeah.
See, just like they've been telling us, oh, it's coming, the surge is coming, the surge is coming. And thank God, not only is the surge not coming, thanks be to God, it's probably not going to come. We still have to be very careful. I get that. But I can assure you that the economic surge is already here. It's in play. It's happening right now. I've got projections from the State House, undisclosed sources, so please take this with a grain of salt. I know they're real, but I can't disclose them to you because I just can't do it on confidentiality. I can tell you that Ohio is looking at the potential of a $2 billion hole in the state budget, wiping out, by and large, the rainy day fund.
Yeah.
Because of what actions the governor's taken. Now, what we're saying is models have a role to play. Of course they do. It's good to get your best guess. And Amy Acton, in the beginning, was saying that her models were guesstimations. But here's the problem. You can't determine everything about what you're going to do with your society based on guesswork and then ask people to take you as credible. And then every time they ask you a question or they start to push back, you double down and threaten them with more serious things. For example, I can't come back to my home in Ohio right now because if I do, I am mandatorily being forced to stay inside my house for 14 days. Regardless if I test positive or negative, at the border, I take a test every 12 hours and do not have this virus. I must stay in my home for 14 days. That's patently unconstitutional. They don't care. They've got a model that says the surge is coming, the surge is coming, so you must surrender your rights.
And the thing about this is, you know, what they're saying is, you know, as individuals, we won't act responsibly and do the right thing, that they have to force us. They don't trust businesses to say, you know what, we don't want our customers to get sick, so we're going to enact, like grocery stores, like the places that are still open, they're all enacting safeguards, you know, social distancing or physical distancing and things like that. And they're not trusting that other businesses do that as well and say, you know what, we're going to be responsible and we're going to take the necessary precautions, but we can still be open, still do business and still be responsible, and trusting that people, you know, the vast, vast majority of people will be responsible, will be respectful of their friends and their neighbors, not wanting to spread it, not wanting to get it, and will engage in the behaviors without being forced to under threat of law.
When this began, gentlemen, it was voluntary. It was, we are on this together because we all wanted to do the right thing. And I have got no objection staying 6 feet away from people and washing your hands and all that stuff. I'm good with all that stuff. I understand the difference is the force of law and the ruthless, unfair administration of that law in abrogating civil rights, and what they're doing is they're turning us against each other. And that's no way to do it. And they're not doing it based on science. They're doing it based on guesswork. And they're not being honest. Now, what will happen is they're going to claim all the credit. When these numbers come in this week and they're dramatically lower, they'll switch models out and say, well, I got to tell you, we're doing so much better because of social distancing. Number one, the social distancing was supposed to be built in the model. This is their third try. That should have been in there. Okay? Number one. And number two, they're still guessing. What we're saying is the Constitution is not forfeit because a virus came along. Our Constitution was around during the time of smallpox, during the time of things like bacterial infections like cholera. The Constitution still survives and the principles still work. We have leaders that have acted outside the law. They need to admit they were wrong because there's plenty of forgiveness to go around and get back in the real world and start treating the people who are doing the best they can. Stop treating everyone else as the enemy. We're not the enemy. Okay, we're the people who pay the bills. And right now, if you keep your foot on the throat of the economy, there'll be no money to pay those bills when they come due.
We're talking with Dave Zanotti from American Policy Roundtable. Dave, I wish I had more time with you, but I know that you guys up at the Public Square have a multi-part series on the coronavirus with Dr. Charles McGowan, and folks can check out that there, and there's lots of stuff up at the AP Roundtable as well. So let folks know all those places where they can go and get that information.
We're all over this at aproundtable.org and the Public Square, and if you're mad about what I said because we penetrated that bubble, please listen to the COVID Chronicles on the Public Square before you start writing people letters and get the balance of the information and understand where the facts are, because there's a smarter way to walk out our faith in this arena without hysterical panic or simply serving a government that's doing the wrong thing instead of holding them accountable.
Last word, and Dave, just alert you to this. I think it was on National Review. They did an article about Sweden and how they're responding. And they've kept their businesses open and stuff, but practicing social distancing and stuff. You might want to check that out.
Well, I have, and it's true. And I'm sitting in Tennessee right now, but it has much less stringent enforcement than Ohio. And Tennessee's doing quite well as well.
All right. Well, Dave, thanks so much. We appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.